Good morning. Rather than offer reflection, I thought perhaps a story. Stories are fun. Some of you might not know that Lompo Sumedho had a really awesome hatha yoga practice, even as a layman. And he's very, very diligent in that way. And being with him, either in formal practice and sitting meditation or doing yoga, was such an inspiring example of diligence and strong energy. And I was just reflecting with Lompo Pasano here that when we were in the first or second year of Wat Nanachat, there were a group of us who were doing yoga, hatha yoga together in the mornings. And both of us remember trying to do backbends. We could actually do backbends. We don't. Can you still do? No, I think I'm finished myself. But it was. We were young and strong and a bit crazy. And Kitty Sorrow was. He was an Iyengar teacher, I think, right? Yeah. A younger yoga teacher. But all of us were into yoga, so it was a very, very kind of a dynamic time. And then we do maybe 2 hours sitting meditation before Pindapad. Fast forward to, say, 1977, 78, in the first year of the Hampstead Vihara. I was there, Anando, the old Anando, not the young Anando. And there was a lot of negativity in the Vihara and in the atmosphere. And I was really homesick for Thailand. I didn't want to be in England. And yet, I really love Lompo Sumedho. I wanted to support him. And there was some internecine fighting among the lay people as politics, you know, this happens. So there's a lot of negativity floating around. The weather was wet and cold and damp and dark. And so my mind became very, very, very negative and complaining. Ananda was on the ropes too. He was ready to run away. It's a kind of an exaggeration, but the whole feeling with us was not very positive. So there's a little kind of complaining, and Lompo Sumedho said, "We can't do this. We have to put more energy, more vitality into our lives." So he said, "Okay, here's the regime." So we got up at, I guess, probably 3 a.m. And first thing, we had to take a cold shower. I hate cold showers. I just do not like cold showers. But Lompo was the first one. And that was always his way. It's always been his way, is to lead by example. And if there's something tough to be done, he'll do it first. So he would do the cold shower first. I would do it. Ananda would do it second. I would do it third. But it was very energizing. And then we lived in the back of the Hampstead Vihara in these breeze block cells, which are a bit rough. And we had a shower that we shared amongst us. And then, going back to the yoga thing, we went up to the shrine room, and then Lompo really walked us or pushed us through a really, really vigorous yoga routine. And I think we were doing like 15-minute headstands and back bends and the whole 9 yards of it. And it was like a really good yoga workout. And then we'd meditate for 2 hours. So by the time the morning came around, and we only ate one meal a day, so we'd go out and we'd walk into town for Pindapad, we were really, really energized. And I remember that, I remember the insight I had from that was, so we had done that first session, and I think I was going on Pindapad alone up Haverstock Hill, and I remember opening my umbrella because it was raining again, and having my alms bone, thinking, oh God, what's the point of this anyway? And I saw it. I saw the negativity of my mind. I saw how I was just creating a negative state of mind, and I just lifted it out. And from then on, it gave me a lot of insight into the way the thinking mind constructs our world. And it's not true. It's often not true at all. It's just a bunch of lies. And I could see how my mind is really lying to me, because actually I was fed. I had the best teacher around. I had good support. London was actually interesting, but my mind was really caught in negativity. And so that kind of pragmatism that Lompo gave to me makes him, you know, he's a real genius in pragmatism, where he would take a word and go deeply into it. So his offering to me wasn't encyclopedic, it was depth. He wasn't going for breadth and a lot of information and a lot of sutta study. He would take one word like doubt. In the third fetter, vichikicca. When I read the text, doubts was that you have no doubt in the Buddhist teaching. And I had met people who had no doubt in the Buddhist teaching, but they're all opinionated. And, you know, actually quite not nice people. And I said, so what's the difference between an opinionated Buddhist and an opinionated Jehovah's Witness? They're both coming at me with their strong views, right? And then he said, no, that's not what doubt is about. Vichikicca is not about that. It's seeing doubt as an object and not being the subject of doubt. And that helped me with the whole attachment to intellect. The doubt, answer that cycle that we can go through. No. Doubt is an object. It's an aramana. It's a mood. And when you know doubt is doubt, then you have the Buddha Dhamma. You know doubt is anicca dukkha anatta. And so Lompa took that third fetter for me, and he kind of unpacked it for me in a way that became much, much, much more meaningful. So we come together to celebrate our beloved teacher, Lompa Sumedho, and I'm so grateful to the community here at Amaravati for their kindness and generosity in welcoming us. And I'd like to really offer anumodana to Ajahn Asoko. You know, what he's doing, what he's done, the friendship he's developed with Lompa is really wonderful, the companionship that Lompa gets and the care he gets. So Satu, and we all feel that, I know, of Ajahn Asoko, and now Ajahn Vinita and the other members of the Amaravati team who care for Lompa. So with that little story, I'll end this reflection, and Ajahn Amaro, please, the Anumodana.